To start with, it's a lot of things around motivation. So what does motivate the athletes? How are they handling their training? How are they dealing with, you know, diet, favorite recipes, all different things like that, which can act as, you know, advice, support, and encouragement, as I mentioned, to all of us in these difficult times. So, you know, we look up to the superstars in the sport, and this is a way that we can connect with them almost directly and get their advice on how we handle, you know, the COVID crisis.
That was Sam Renouf, the CEO of the Professional Triathlete Organization, and this is his story on the Pacing Racing Podcast. All right, what's happening, everyone? Welcome back and welcome to the first time listeners. My name is Steven Langhausen. I am the host of the Pacing Racing Podcast. Now we have some exciting news in today's chat with the CEO of the Professional Triathletes Organization as they unveiled the new PTO hub. So the PTO was met with both extreme optimism by most and skepticism by some as they hit the triathlon scene like a storm. Our sport was in dire need for change and our professionals needed way better representation, and the PTO came to do just that. And some question their ability at first to look after the professionals, but I think they've shown that they mean business and they're here to help athletes when they need it most. For starters, they created the Collins Cup, which was a spectator-friendly triathlon event with a huge prize purse where triathletes would race on teams in a never-seen format to represent their countries. On top of this, they created a $2 million year-end bonus for the professional triathletes, which would be paid out across the top 100 male and top 100 female professionals. And unfortunately, the Collins Cup had to be postponed to 2021 due to COVID-19, but just when the bad news came, they came out with financial support for the professionals, shifting the $2 million year-end bonus to a total of $2.5 million bonus and paid it out immediately to their top 100 male and 100 female athletes. The extra $500,000 allocated went to the triathletes ranked 21st to 100th so that the wealth could be more evenly distributed. To even take it further, the world's top 10 triathletes committed to doing online appearances and events that will donate all the revenue to the lower ranked athletes within the organization. And that is the true result of an athletic community coming together under one organization. This tremendous generosity truly shines bright when these athletes need the financial support the most now, more than ever, as a lot of them rely on the race season as their income. So the PTO has been backed by support from the professionals, their fans, and the athletic community, with even a recent article in The Guardian speaking highly of the PTO, suggesting that the football community, aka soccer community for the North Americans, can take note from this type of strategy to help out their athletes. Anyways, I think I've painted quite a picture here of what the PTO has been up to in the recent months, but here is the CEO himself to explain to us where the Professional Triathletes Organization is heading and what's to come with the PTO Hub. This is an excellent podcast and the privilege is all mine to be speaking with Sam. So let's get into it. Sam, welcome to the show. How are things going, man?
Thanks, Steven. Great to be here. Yeah, as good as I guess it can be for anybody in these strange times we're all living in, right?
Exactly. No, it's so true. It's crazy times. And, you know, I can only imagine it's been quite a change for you running the organization with, you know, all these social distancing and travel restriction measures in place, right?
Well, it certainly impacted us, but of course, impacting the whole world, right? And so very conscious that triathlon is well down the pecking order when you consider a, you know, a global pandemic. That said, you know, the athletes, or I should say our athletes, the members, all focused on, you know, staying fit, staying healthy, and looking forward to the world returning to normal, which, you know, maybe there are some good news soon, right? From what we've seen in the news the last couple of days, the tour being announced for later this year, Tour de France, I mean, maybe we'll see some racing later in the year.
Exactly, right? It's good to stay optimistic about it. And, you know, all things considering, there's got to be a silver lining in this somewhere. So, you know, I guess just for some context here, before we get into all the nitty gritty, I think most listeners are well aware of the PTO by now. But there, as we just spoke about before the podcast, is there's a few new triathletes listening in, and there might even be some non-triathletes listening in. So for those listeners, can we just give a quick refresher on, you know, what the PTO is, why it was formed, and what it brings to the sport?
Sure, totally. Very, very happy to. So the PTO has been going for actually a couple of years. It was formed by some athletes in North America, actually, originally saying, hey, let's unite and see if we can improve the sport from a professional perspective. So it's focused on sort of the sharp end of the sport. But obviously that flows down into the sport in general, because what's good for the professionals should be good for the sports at large. And we refer to ourselves as like a rising tide that lifts all boats. And that's really based on history. So if I comment, the structure of the PTO is very, very similar to what exists very successfully in tennis and golf and many other sports, but tennis and golf are very comparable because they're solo sports. So the PGA Tour in golf and the ATP in tennis are both membership organizations that are focused on promoting the professional elements of their respective sports. And we've been formed with similar goals, similar structure, and really that's what all there is to it. It's pretty simple.
Awesome. I love it. And you guys are here much similar to that. When you think of golf and you think of tennis and there are individual athletes playing the sport, it's a lot different from the structure compared to that of, say, hockey or football, soccer, I guess, in the case of North Americans. Now, is that the reason why you guys want to take the angle for masking what golf and masking what tennis does? They have things like the Ryder's Cup, and you have recently, you guys have discussed the Collins Cup, things like that.
Yeah, so look, we're in the very fortunate position to be able to look at what's worked in other sports, right? Triathlon is a really young sport, right? It's 40 years old. Golf, tennis are, you know, upwards of 100 years old. And so we've had the luxury of being able to look at other sports, what's worked, what's not, and hopefully take the best bits and apply it to triathlon. And I think for anyone who's a historian of sport will know that if we use, again, the comparisons of golf and tennis, when the professionals were able to organize, when they were able to get together and form those organizations, the resulting growth that came in those sports was dramatic. It was a huge, huge surge. And that partly came down to sport is about personalities. Sport is about superstars and fans. And having an organization that really showcases the greatest athletes and puts them in, you know, the public eye, causes the sport to grow. Right. I mean, let's not talk about tennis too much, but if you, you know, go through the different cycles, you've got, you know, the Sampras era with Agassi in North America was one of the big surges of tennis off the back of those athletes. And then we're seeing the same now with Federer. We think there should be a comparison in triathlon. So, you know, Jan Frodeno, arguably, you know, the Federer of triathlon, and yet doesn't have that kind of status because there isn't anyone promoting the professionals in the way that they should be.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Very well put on that. And, you know, one of the things I like that you guys brought out, and when you speak of showcasing, we think of the Collins Cup, which was an incredible event that was lined up. And I know I just talked to Crowe on the podcast not too long ago about this. Now, unfortunately, it was postponed, I guess, just due to the pandemic, COVID-19, everything going on. And that will be postponed till 2021, but the show will go on. And I think it's probably one of the most incredible events that have kind of been rolled out in this sport. So can you briefly kind of expand on what the Collins Cup was all about and what it's going to be about in 2021?
Sure, absolutely. And look, you raise a good point, which I missed before when I'm referring to what the PTO is about. Probably the difference is to what, you know, other organizations that are in the sport, not only that it's a membership organization, so it's owned by the professionals, but secondly, the focus up from a commercial perspective, so what are we doing from a sort of business day-to-day, is very much around broadcast, because sports don't really reach their true value or their true, you know, status until you have a solid broadcast product. And that's really what we think is lacking in triathlon. And so a lot of what we do is look through the lens of how do we create exciting TV products for the sport. And the first one of those was the Collins Cup, as you brought up, based, again, comparables to golf, based very much on the Ryder Cup golf event, which is by far and away the highest profile event in golf. So, you know, you've got the majors, you've got the open, but the Ryder Cup transcends all of that. And one of the reasons why is it transcends because it unites all the different countries around this amazing battle of USA. Well, not all the countries, I should say, USA and Europe, right? So it unites around Europe and the USA and creates rivalries between those countries rather than being, or regions, I should say, rather than being purely which athlete wins. And so we look to doing, you know, the same thing with the Collins Cup. It's a team-based competition. Three teams, you've got the USA, Europe, and then the internationals going head to head in match racing. So again, comparison to the Ryder Cup, it's not about who hits the shortest amount of hits in matches. It's all about match play. It's who wins against each athlete each time. And so that was really our structure with the Collins Cup. The first event was going to be in May this year in Slovakia, this fantastic venue called the X Bionic Sphere. racing with, you know, the best athletes in the world racing for the largest prize purse that's ever been. So we had a $2 million prize purse. And as you say, that event will come. We've delayed it by a year. We were thinking about putting it to the back half of this year, but frankly, we didn't think it was the right thing for the industry. So this is it's a huge undertaking to launch an event like this with, you know, broadcast teams and production teams and athletes from all around the world. Could we fit that into a relatively tight window when, you know, the whole world is trying to pack in events the back half of the year? We thought it would do the product a disservice. So rather than rush it, we thought we'll come back stronger in 2021.
Exactly. I think that's a very smart idea too. You know, there's a lot of finances on the lines. And, you know, speaking of that, I guess, like, how has this relationship been so far with the investors through these times? Because I mean, seeing as you guys just handed out the $2.5 million bonus to the athletes, I think it's safe to say the investors were more than willing to help through the good times and all the hard times, right?
So we've been very fortunate to have a very, very forward-looking patient investor. So it's almost the definition of patient capital. So Crankstart is the name of our investment partner. It's the investment vehicle of a gentleman called Mike Moritz, who's very successful in Silicon Valley, and it was, you know, a major part in the launch and the backing of these sort of iconic companies that we've all heard of every day. You know, Google, LinkedIn, Yahoo, PayPal, like amazing brands. And the common theme with all of the investments is that they were always very long term. And so whilst it's been, for sure, no one expected that this COVID crisis was going to come along, and it's definitely set us back from a time frames, it hasn't really given any concern to the investors because they're in it for the long haul anyway. That said, I'm glad you bring it up. You know, it was probably a distinction with us versus most is that when the Collins Cup got cancelled, of course, we were, you know, originally had crisis meetings, getting together, thinking about what's the impact of the event and when do we cancel and how do we treat the different vendors and all those kind of things. But actually, our conversation very quickly moved from, rather than damage control around the Collins Cup, more about what do we do about the athletes? Because as we've often said, you know, professional athletes are, especially in triathlon, they're all self-employed, right? So they don't necessarily race for a team. Like in cycling, you race for a team. You're, you know, a salaried member, or if you're in football, you're part of a football team and you have a salary. But in the case of triathlon, all of the professional triathletes are self-employed, which, you know, overnight meant if you can't race, they're unemployed. So we quickly got together with our investment partners, Crankstart, and said, look, we'd like to bring forward the world rankings payment and pay it early to essentially provide some liquidity to all of the athletes, because we know they've just lost their ability to earn for the rest of the year. And they were very supportive of that and, in fact, encouraged us to go one step further, which is fantastic. Which we originally had a $2 million world rankings payment that paid out across the different athletes, and we extended it with another $500,000 specifically for the athletes ranked 20 through 100, just to provide them with some extra support to get them through what will be some pretty dark months.
Yeah, you know, overall, by no means were you guys given an easy start, but I think you guys were able to show your true support and true colors through this pandemic, and that at the end of the day, the sole focus of the PTO is really looking out for all of the athletes through thick and thin. So I think that's awesome to see.
Thank you. Well, and look, it's an important point to call out is that it shows how we look at the athlete relationship. So the athletes to us are truly partners, right? So they are the organization. This is an organization that's built around showcasing, promoting professionals. And the financial model we have with our investors is that the athletes are co-owners of the sport. And that's a really important part. So the way that we reacted with the rankings was natural to operate with the view that these athletes are co-owners. We want them to make sure they survive, make sure that they thrive, and that they can come back off the back of this crisis in a great position to race and do what they do best. You know, we didn't want months of athletes worried about being able to make their mortgage payments. And hopefully we've been able to do that with these early support. And indeed, you mentioned the PTO Hub just before, a very natural reaction and next step is that as the athletes, or many of the athletes, have now got a little bit of financial security, a bit of a safety net, they have in turn been able to work with us and say, well, what can we do to help the world in this, you know, really, really dark time? And that's why we launched the PTO Hub just this week, or we'll launch it on Friday, Friday the 7th.
Exactly. And perfect. I mean, let's talk about the latest and greatest news here. I mean, this is right down my alley, you know, being a content creator here. And of course, as of the time of this recording, it's Thursday. So as of tomorrow, they officially launched the PTO Hub. And now, I guess, where did this idea originate from? And for those who don't know about it, it just came out on social media. What's it all about? And what do you guys plan to do with this?
Sure. So the PTO Hub is essentially a one-stop portal for you to access, for you, I say you, age groupers, the general public, to be able to access support, encouragement, and entertainment from the professional athletes. So one of the most, we recognize that, you know, the professional athletes that make up the PTO are some of the greatest athletes on the planet. They're incredibly inspirational people. But just like everybody else, they're sat at home, right? They're figuring out how to get through this COVID crisis just like we all are. And so we went to all of them and said, look, we'd like you to volunteer some of your time. And indeed, these ideas came from discussions with the athletes directly. So I certainly don't want it to feel like it's a PTO initiative. The PTO is really here just to facilitate the athletes. And they got together and said, look, how can we help? And so through creating a bunch of different inspiring content, which we'll release over, you know, the coming weeks and months, depending on how long this crisis goes. But to start with, it's a lot of things around motivation. So what does motivate the athletes? How are they handling their training? How are they dealing with, you know, diet, favorite recipes, all different things like that, which can act as, you know, advice, support, and encouragement, as I mentioned, to all of us in these difficult times. So, you know, we look up to the superstars in the sport, and this is a way that we can connect with them almost directly and get their advice on how we handle, you know, the COVID crisis.
All right, I just momentarily wanted to interrupt this chat to let you guys know that the Pace Racing Podcast has some incredible sponsors who have been super, super generous in offering up some promo codes to the podcast listeners that subscribe to the monthly podcast newsletter. So to all who do this, all you have to do is head to pacingandracing.com, sign up for the monthly newsletter, and in turn, you'll keep up to date on the latest triathlon news, tips, and you'll be notified that there's some great deals and promotions from many of your favorite triathlon brands. Also, if you're looking to train and race virtually and want to join me in doing so, then feel free to follow me on Zwift and Strava by searching Steven Langhausen. Doing virtual training is always better when you're surrounded by supportive community members, so definitely feel free to hit me up. And lastly, one more thing, if you guys do enjoy these podcasts and if you haven't already done so, it means the absolute world to me if you go onto Apple Podcasts, click on the Pace Racing Podcast, scroll down to the bottom, and just leave us a quick 5-star written review. It takes less than 1 minute to do, but it means the world to me, so thanks to all who do that. And now, let's get back in the conversation. Enjoy. So who can listeners expect to be in this content? Is it going to be a full range of all professionals, including some of the crowd favorites? And what sort of thing would they expect? Now, I know Till Shank, Bob Babbitt, Greg Bennett, a few of those guys are going to help facilitate this, right? And then they're just going to have appearances from some athletes throughout different content platforms.
That's right. So look, it's all online, obviously, given the environment that we're in. It was all collected online. So this is relatively, what's the right way to put it? Scrappy content. That's probably the nice way of putting it because, you know, not like in this environment, we can't turn up at Jan Frodeno's house with a camera crew. Right? Yeah. So we had to do it all remotely. But I think everyone relates to that at the moment because we're all in the same situation. But to answer to your question, it's all of the athletes. So we have upwards of 200 members, nearly 300 members in the PTO now, and everyone is pitching in and saying, how can I help and what can I do? And so more specifically, we've done sessions with Lionel Sanders, we've got Jan Frodeno this week, Alistair Brownlee's been involved, Daniela Reef, Lucy Charles, I mean, to the full list, but all the way down, not just the top ranked athletes, but all members of the PTO. And we're working to, you know, it's actually more a case of how much time do we have to work with these athletes. They've all been really fantastic in volunteering their time, not just in, you know, being available, but also coming up with ideas, whether that's quotes and positioning and things that are motivating them, but also ideas for entertaining stories and backgrounds to themselves. And that, you know, relates back to partly maybe a more selfish reason for launching this. I mean, there's an altruistic reason, which is we want to help the world, right? And help them through inspiring people. But at a more selfish perspective, and I say selfish more from a PTO lens, is that if we can showcase the athletes and show the incredible personalities that are in the sport will grow. And so this is an opportunity for us to get out the stories and the names and some of the personalities, probably the right way of putting it, of the athletes to, you know, to the fans and ultimately grow that fan base, which I'm very confident will come from the PTO Hub.
Yeah, it's really cool to see this concept. And I can only imagine if other sports took note of this and created their own form of PTO Hub, I think that'd be really fascinating to watch too, right? So I think so far the PTO has done a really incredible job of being at the forefront of, you know, creative innovation in these sort of hard times, right? Where everyone has to switch to being virtual essentially. And I guess we're pretty fortunate. We have, you know, programs like Zwift, we have the Ironman VR that's just released. And we have these opportunities that the athletes are still able to train and interact and virtually compete. So I think that's a really nice blend for us to be able to have as athletes, as triathletes and endurance athletes in the sport. So, you know, just kind of touching base again on some of the content. I know you touched on several of the formats there that's going to be available on the PTO Hub, but notably, I guess, reading into it, there's the Daily Up, the Blast from the Past with Bob Babbitt, which is pretty cool. There's a pro clinic. There's some Turbo Talk with Greg Bennett. And, you know, there's just quite a few things there. So can you give the listeners just a little bit more emphasis or a teaser on sort of the content platforms that they might find within the Hub?
Absolutely. So, I mean, if you head to ptohub.org, that's where we're hosting everything. And, you know, I should call out, like, it's nice of you to say how we've been leading this from a sports perspective, but actually we got these ideas from the athletes. So if you think about it individually, I think everyone who's on Instagram who follows any athletes will have seen people posting workouts and things like that of what are they doing. And what we thought is, you know, that's fantastic. Let's get a place where we can consolidate that. That if I'm a fan of the sport, I know there's one place where I can go and I can get all of that content in one go. So really all we're doing is acting as a consolidator on behalf of other professionals and bringing it together in one place. Of course, given we're a broadcast-based business, as I touched on earlier, you know, the focus of the PTO from a business perspective is to create incredible broadcasts. We have some talented producers and editors. And so what we've done is we've worked with the athletes, you know, set up webcam sessions and then layered in graphics and sort of created more of a production value, if that's the right way to describe it. But really with the lens of the goal of this whole platform is to support, encourage, and inspire, right? And so we've got a series of different programs, for lack of a better word. So think of it like a TV channel. And those range from, as you mentioned, more motivational. So the Daily Up, that's sort of a motivational piece of advice, which will be delivered by social media, all the way through to sort of more longer form interviews. So Bob Babbitt, we're really thrilled to work with Bob, is like the historian of the sport. And he'll be talking to many of the, you know, the retired professionals, you know, the superstars of the past, and talking about their perspective in COVID times. And then there's some more lighthearted stuff with things like Till Schenk, who's sort of checking in with athletes on how are they surviving on a day-to-day basis. So hopefully, you know, it'll do a mixture of different things for people. They'll get a bit of encouragement about things to do. They'll be inspired about how they can train in these difficult times and ultimately be supported in a very, very difficult COVID environment.
Yeah, you said it great there. Now, I think a lot of the athletes, you know, age groupers as well, same with the professionals. I think everyone really suffered when the news came down where events were canceled all across the globe for the sport, because a lot of these athletes have been training day in, day out, some for Ironman. And it's incredible to see the sacrifice a lot of athletes put into the sport. And then they must have been heartbroken. But when you come to realize it, we got over that phase of all that training went to nothing. We started finding new outlets, new alternatives to, you know, motivate and inspire each other on Zwift, on Ironman VR, things like that, training together as a community virtually. I think those are some great avenues that we've been able to come up with. And, you know, triathlon being a sport of community, I think that really shows it there and shines bright compared to a lot of other sports you might see. So now I know that Greg Bennett is doing the Turbo Talk and doing some content with some of the professional athletes on their indoor bike trainers. Now, will there be the potential for some live streaming of events either through Ironman VR or Zwift Pro Series or anything like that, you know, with the regular outdoor season being put on hold for now?
Yeah, totally. Well, so look, both of Ironman VR and Zwift Pro Series, are, you know, those are their activations, right? So those are their races. We are absolutely looking at other things that we can work with our athletes through the rest of the year. And look, some of those might even be physical events, right? So they might be real, depending on when the world opens up. So for us, 2020 is by no means gone. We're certainly having to be very nimble, just like our athletes are. And so no one really knows when we're going to be able to return to normal racing. That said, the minute we can, the PTO will be ready. And so we're working on a few different things there. And in the meantime, I think your nose is in the right place. There's some opportunities for e-racing, or actually, I should restate that, less e-racing, more about e-exhibitions. We're not sure necessarily racing is the right thing at this environment, but is there a chance to get people together and showcase the sport? Absolutely. And the PTO Hub will be the first step of that, but we've certainly got more things coming down the pipeline that we hope we'll announce in the coming weeks and months.
Perfect. And one of the coolest things I saw was that you guys have what is called the PTO Hub Quiz. Now, that seems to be where fans can engage with some of the athletes as well. And, you know, in a team environment, you know, have some competition, some friendly competition within a quiz format. So what's this all about? Can you kind of expand on that a little bit?
Sure, happy to. And look, it depends what part of the world. I think if you relate to the play on the word. So the thing that's really popular at the moment, certainly where I am in London, is pub quizzes, right? And so we wanted to create a hub quiz instead, obviously delivered virtually and through various different technologies. So that's a few weeks away, but will be an opportunity for a bit of user-generated content and interaction. Look, certainly we're starting with video, and a lot of this is interview-based, but this will evolve pretty quickly. And we really hope it's an opportunity to unite the community and, you know, engage with the athletes. There are also some really interesting things in the pipeline with groups, even like Airbnb. We're working on a partnership there. I don't mind commenting on that. It's not official yet, but on how do you create virtual experiences? And so you can expect to see things popping up. There's already a couple of triathletes out there that have created some virtual experiences and ways to interact during these COVID times. And we're working on a few different things around that, which will be pretty exciting to come. So certainly don't think that this will be a one-way media exchange. We'll definitely have some interactive opportunities in the coming weeks.
Awesome. Yeah, it's definitely exciting times to see this. And I'm glad you guys reacted with the PTO Hub through all these times, because I think that's what the athletes, both professional and age groupers alike, both need in these times. You know, you spoke on inspiration, motivation, and I think that's what we need most to get through these training sessions day in, day out, until we get a better picture of what's going on with the race season ahead, whether it's 2020 or shifting to 2021. But no, I think we're all in this together. And I think you definitely have done the PTO, I should say, has done an incredible job of keeping the optimism there and keeping the triathlon dream live. So I'm very happy to see that and what's ahead here. And, you know, I guess speaking about what's ahead, you know, I know you guys have had a couple attempts to acquire Ironman, but it sounds like that was recently acquired by Advance. Now, is there any other opportunities or avenues the PTO may try to seek out that, of course, we could speak of publicly at this time, or where are we heading in the near term future?
Sure, absolutely. So look, triathlon is an event-based sport. And so for us to showcase the best athletes, we need events. We love Ironman. We loved Ironman so much, we approached them to buy them, right? We weren't successful in that in particular, but we're excited to see that they have a new owner. And look forward to engaging with them at the appropriate times on how do we showcase the sport, because Ironman is an incredible brand and it's an incredible part of the sport. Speaking to the PTO's opportunity, whether that's acquisition related or more organic, we've absolutely got plans. We have a number of different things which will now be delayed a little bit, but you know they'll come in due course and will be opportunities to showcase the best athletes. Because one thing we were very conscious of where we felt triathlon had gone wrong is that certainly from a professional perspective, the racing has got far too fragmented, right? There were not many opportunities, frankly, outside of Kona, where the best athletes race head to head. And that's really partly driven by low price purses, right? So there really isn't the incentive, if we get into sort of the mechanics of the sport, with price purses where they are, there isn't an incentive for the best athletes to go head to head, because why would you risk a low payment, right? So, I mean, if I'm the world number one, if I make that hypothetically, if I was the world number one and then you're the world number two and you're racing for $10,000, you just go to another race where you can guarantee you're going to win a payment, right? And so that's a very natural reaction to the fragmentation that exists in the market. Now, compare that to, say, tennis, where, you know, the majors in tennis have huge prize purses. That's a massive incentive for the best athletes to come together. And so that's really the strategy that the PTO is following. That's why the Collins Cup had a $2 million prize purse, because we wanted to bring together the very best athletes and have them go head to head, because that's what creates an exciting showcase of the sport. And in doing so, it grows the sport, right? It creates a very natural virtuous cycle. This wasn't just purely around, now we think for sure that the athletes should be paid more than they should be at the moment. And it should be, you know, just rewards for the incredible training and the incredible athleticism that they have. But there's also a business logic here that by having higher prize purses, we can get the greatest races, we can have exciting experiences that are shown on broadcast, and we ultimately grow the sport. So it's a sort of very natural play. So that's a very long answer to your question, Stephen, maybe on what do we have planned. We certainly have a number of large, big budget events that are coming along to showcase the incredible athleticism of the athletes, which we truly believe are the greatest athletes on the planet. And when the world wakes up to that, we'll really see triathlon grow.
Yeah, you said it correct there. I mean, you think about the time and energy these athletes spend day to day just to stay in this peak performance shape. You know, as you said, they're some of the best athletes in the world, you know, the fittest athletes in the world. And it's incredible to see how much they're actually, you know, prior to the PTO that, you know, they weren't making a whole lot of money relative to many of the other sports out there that you see, right? So I'm excited to see where this heads in the future. I think many of the listeners are as well. And I think a lot of the professionals are on board for this, and I'm excited about it. It should be some great times. And, you know, it's cool to see, along with all these initiatives PTO is doing, that you guys are also having a ripple effect across other sports leagues. And, you know, recently the PTO was spoken highly of in the Guardian article, you know, suggesting that football teams can learn from the sport of triathlon in how they've supported their athletes during the pandemic. So, I mean, what's your take on that? That must have been some good news to read, right?
Yeah, look, it was great to have. It was Sean Engel, the Guardian reporter, who commented on that when he saw the approach that we had taken, that we were very, and it shows that we were an athlete-first organization. But really, I think if you wrote back to even what you said before, it's about having a platform to promote the sport. And that's what the athletes were lacking, really, is that... The individuals, whether it's the Jan Frodeno, the Danielas, the Lucy Charles, they're all fantastic personalities, but there wasn't really anything behind them promoting them and getting them up to the status that they could have. Now, compare that in contrast to, say, a footballer, where you'd have, you know, your football team, you've got the football league, you've got all these different businesses that are behind promoting those personalities. And that's what we really felt was lacking. And so hopefully the PTO can step in and be a platform that elevates the status of those professionals, because when people recognize the athleticism of athletes, recognize the athleticism of triathletes, they see quite what a phenomenal athletes these are. And in fact, it goes back to, we touched earlier that, you know, Jan Frodeno is, you know, really the Roger Federer of the sport. But to give you a comparison, Roger Federer has obviously won the Sports Personality of the Year award in Switzerland multiple times, but on multiple occasions, the female winner at that time was Daniela Ryf. Right, so the Swiss are all voting for Daniela, just as they're voting for Roger. And we think that's just a great example of when people recognize the athletes, they celebrate them. But there hasn't been a platform that has promoted them as much, and so we're hoping to step in and do that, and as a result, really elevate the status of not just the professionals but also the sport. Right, we should lift the whole sport up with us.
Love it. No, it's so true. I'm very happy to hear that. It's looking forward to, you know, what's to come. Right now. You know, I think we talked on quite a few different topics here. We're super excited about the PTO Hub coming into fruition as of tomorrow, as of this recording time. Now, is there anything else you kind of want to touch base on, whether it's anything to do with PTO or specifically the PTO Hub, I guess, before we wrap this up?
Yeah, no, I would say just look to stay safe and stay healthy, right? This is a really difficult time for everybody. We're very conscious from a commercial perspective that, you know, people shouldn't be out there doing deals. They're thinking about society and thinking about how we, you know, prevent more deaths in all these different environments. So the PTO Hub is a drop in the ocean, ultimately, compared to what everyone's dealing with. But we hope it's our small way as a sport that we can help, ultimately. And give back a little, having been able to support the athletes beforehand. And ultimately, you know, I think the phrase that resonates well is, you know, this too shall pass, right? COVID will go at some point, racing will return, and we'll go back to normal. And hopefully we get back to normal in a stronger, better way, in a more healthy way, if we can take some inspiration from these incredible athletes. So yeah, in short, head over to ptohub.org, watch the trailer, send in an email, give us some advice on what content you'd like to see. This is very much a two-way process. And we look forward to, you know, growing the community together.
Awesome. I know I love ending it on a positive note like that. So that's perfect. Definitely, I'll leave the link and information in the show notes. And other than that, I think that's a great spot to wrap it up. And it's been, of course, super inspiring and informative to chat with you today. And I appreciate you taking the time to come on and chat. And, you know, again, thanks for creating an organization that looks out for our professionals and keeps our sport healthy and growing. So just to top off what you just said, stay safe, stay healthy, and all the best, man.
All the best. Yeah. Thanks, Stephen. You have a great day.
Awesome. Well, that's a wrap with the CEO of the Professional Triathletes Organization, Sam Renouf. Thanks so much for listening in. If you enjoyed this podcast among others, then please just take a minute to open up the podcast app on your Apple iPhone, search Pacing Racing and click the podcast, click subscribe, and then scroll down to the bottom and just leave us a quick written review. It takes less than a minute to do, but it goes a long way in helping me out. So to all who do that, thanks so much. It's highly appreciated. Other than that, happy training. And if you want to train with me on Zwift, then drop me a follow by searching Steven Langenhausen. Anyway, take care. Chat soon. Cheers.